What's going on, guys? This is your AEW Dynamite review for the first day of September. September 1, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster. Really nasty night here in New York. If you are on the East Coast, I hope you are staying safe. We have the remnants of Hurricane Ida moving on here through New York. So if you hear any booming or loud rain, it is right outside my window. I'm hoping the power does not get knocked out. The lights have flickered. So far, the internet is okay, but if I get knocked offline, you're going to know why. It's a little dicey, so bear with me. Hopefully, we'll make it through this stream. You know, before I even get into Dynamite here, I was getting my stuff ready, getting ready to go live, and I'm checking Twitter, and I see there's this drama unfolding on Twitter. From what I can gather, if you remember Daphne was in Impact Wrestling. She was in WCW, so she goes back a ways. But she also spent time working for Impact Wrestling, and there was a whole thing with concussion issues, and it was a whole drama I covered years ago on the podcast. I don't know what she's been up to of late. I haven't even heard her name mentioned. And I see before I go live tonight that apparently she went live on Instagram, and she was acting very strange. She was acting in a way that was very concerning to people. She was basically teasing suicide. And apparently she had a gun, and she was very emotional, and people were very concerned and trying to reach out to her. People, you know, were trying to call her. I saw Mick Foley on Twitter asking anybody if they can get in touch with her. He tried to call her, and it went to voicemail. I saw the video. You know, it should be taken down, frankly. It's very, very concerning, and I guess police have been called. People who were concerned called police. I think police are on their way to do a welfare check. I hope everything is okay. And if anybody gets any updates on that during the stream, maybe you guys can clue me in the chat and just keep me posted, because that is a very unfortunate situation that is unfolding as we speak. And obviously a lot of wrestlers online very concerned about Daphne. Daphne was a great performer. She really was. Again, you don't hear about her at the moment too much. It's been a while, but I hope everything is okay. Beyond that, I don't know what her situation is, but like I said, hopefully everything is okay. As for AEW Dynamite tonight, this was the go-home episode of Dynamite. We have the go-home Rampage on Friday. This was the go-home Dynamite, and I thought they did a good job of furthering the key stories on the show. Darby Allin and CM Punk, that is the real main event coming up on Sunday. I enjoyed what they did with those two guys tonight, including the little Darby Allin video package where we actually got to hear him speak for the first time. What they did at the end of the show, I thought dragged on for far too long. But the angle they shot at the end of the night where they lowered the cage and you had Kenny Omega and all the Elite members doing a beatdown on Christian Cage and the Lucha Bros, they are the ones who are challenging the Elite for their respective titles on Sunday. I thought it was effective. It dragged on for a little too long. Kenny Omega with his very monotone narration, I wasn't really a fan of that. But they wanted to establish for the cage match, for the tag team titles, that once you're in, nobody can get in after you. There's no getting in, there's no getting out. Of course, you and I both know that's bullshit, but that's what they were trying to establish. All these wrestlers trying to climb up into the cage to get in, they're getting knocked off. Kind of reminded me of SummerSlam back in 94, when all the Hart family members were trying to climb into the big blue cage. So I thought for the key matches coming up on Sunday, the way that they sort of move things along, I thought was fine. The rest of the show to me just felt like it was there. This was not a show to watch for, you know, a ton of great matches, you know, even though I did enjoy the main event for the most part, and the opener. That was the other thing I wanted to mention here up top. A very enjoyable opening tag team match between FTR, Santana, and Ortiz, two teams who were not on the pay-per-view on Sunday, which is criminal. But I guess with Cash's injury, my guess is this match would have been on television weeks ago, and the third and final match between these teams would have been at the pay-per-view, and his arm injury probably just delayed everything and pushed everything back. That's my guess. But the match those two teams had on the show tonight was the best thing on the entire show. I enjoyed that opening tag team match. We're going to get into everything, the good, the bad, everything in between. Please hit that like button if you would be so kind. That does help the video out. As I said, Super Chats are open. I'm going to read every message that you guys send in to me. We had an incredible month of growth here on the YouTube channel in August, our best month ever. And I'm not just talking Super Chat, I'm talking new subscribers, new channel members. Channel memberships are open as well. And just overall views, traffic, support. So thank you. Thank you to everybody who made that possible. And in fact, if you are a channel member, I want to show you this because I pushed this out a few days ago. Just posted episode 11 of the Solomonster Sounds Off from January 21st, 2008. You might be wondering, well, what'd you talk about on that episode? We were talking about this exciting new HD set that WWE was about to debut on Raw. Talking about Ron Killings returning to the company after many, many years away. As I look at this super chat here with me just acting like an ass, which it's kind of my thing. And I pitched this whole storyline for Ric Flair to go to WrestleMania that year, win Money in the Bank, and win his 17th World Championship. Plus my Cloverfield experience. I was very excited to get to the movie theater and finally see Cloverfield. So if you are interested in this type of content, these are episodes of the show from way back when that are not available anywhere else. These are for Legends tier members, but this episode, the one that you see on your screen, I opened it up for all channel members, regardless of what tier you are on. So if this is something that you think you might be interested in, try it out. Become a channel member. You get that and other perks as well. And again, I thank you if you do so. So some news and notes to get into here before we get into Dynamite. Unfortunately, Tony Khan, about 10 minutes before the show went on the air tonight, he posted a tweet announcing that the match between Pac and Andrade is officially off the card on Sunday for the All Out pay-per-view. Apparently there were travel issues. He didn't explain who the travel issues were for. I would guess Pac, but whoever it was, one of them has travel issues. They're not going to be able to make it in time. And so he said that that will be featured on a future episode of Rampage. He specifically said Rampage. So it could be next Friday. It could be the Friday after that. But we're going to get the match on TV. We're not going to get it at the pay-per-view. And instead, the Women's Casino Battle Royal has been bumped up from the buy-in to the main card. And they did announce later on in the show there's going to be this massive tag team match involving Jurassic Express and a whole bunch of different people that's going to be on the pre-show now. The Women's Battle Royal is now on the main card. It sucks. It really sucks. It's very disappointing. Obviously, it's a situation that couldn't be helped. Travel issues are travel issues, but that is one of the matches I was most looking forward to on this show on Sunday. And Andrade, I mean, my God, when did this guy debut? How many weeks ago did Andrade debut? He has had one match, at least on television. I don't think he's even wrestled on Dark. One match in the entire time since he debuted in this company. He debuted before Malakai Black. At least Malakai's had two or three matches by now. So, poor Andrade. He's had one match on TV. He has been, so far, I don't want to say a bust because he's only had the one match, but not a very exciting start to his AEW career. And I looked at this card on Sunday and said, all right, this is going to be the match where he just blows everybody away. And now we're not even going to get it. So very disappointing, but again, it couldn't be helped. Also, Max Caster, he returned on Dark Elevation at the tapings tonight. They're not going to air on YouTube until next week. He had been either suspended or just taken off TV after his controversial rap a few weeks ago, which was only controversial after people on Twitter decided that it was controversial. So he's back. He was in the corner of his partner Anthony Bowens for a match. So Max Caster and the Acclaimed back together again. So let's get into the show tonight. It kicked off with what I thought was the best thing on the entire show. We had FTR taking on Santana and Ortiz. Obviously that gnarly arm injury that Cash Wheeler suffered a number of weeks ago, 25 stitches in the arm. You know, I think it was Dax. Might have been Dax Harwood who posted an image of Cash's arm the night that he sliced it open. And he posted this picture and you see his arm is basically, it looks like a vagina in the middle of his arm. This man had a vagina on his arm, you could see the muscle. It was just like pulled away. How is it that they can get away with posting pictures like that? But when I hurt my knee all those years ago and I put that picture on Twitter of my fucking gaping wound, Twitter almost banned me. They said it was like explicit content. How could he post that? I post that picture and I get in trouble. I guess because I don't have a check mark next to my name. It's ridiculous. Anyway, they've been playing up the idea that Wheeler's career could be over because of this injury. This could be the last ride for FTR. I think they're just playing it up. I don't believe that there's any jeopardy of FTR being done, but, you know, they're playing it up. Santana and Ortiz were out there wearing the dead president's face paint. We haven't seen them wear the war paint in a while. FTR paid homage to the late Bobby Eaton with their design on their trunks, which I thought was very nice. We had stereo dives from Santana and Ortiz early on out onto FTR on the floor. They sent FTR into the barricade. Santana hit a cannonball senton off Ortiz's back. So if you remember the Poetry in Motion, Hardy Boys used to do that. Jeff would leap up off Matt's back. Basically, that was the same thing here, only Santana did a cannonball into the barricade. Back in the ring, Ortiz had control until Cash got a blind tag. That allowed him to surprise Ortiz, sending him shoulder first into the post. And FTR at that point took over. Cash pulled off the turnbuckle pad in one of the corners while the referee was distracted. And FTR, they tried to use that as a weapon. Santana stopped them before Ortiz made a comeback, hit a drop kick. Cash cut him off. Ortiz, though, eventually got the hot tag to Santana. Came in, made a one-man comeback all by himself on both members of FTR. Hit the Three Amigos, paying homage to Eddie Guerrero, to Chance of Eddie. You can't do that spot and not expect to get Chance of Eddie. So he did the Three Amigos. He hit the frog splash, only for a near fall. Santana and Ortiz hit a double-team wheelbarrow cutter and a German suplex. Cash, though, broke up the pin. So at this point, these two teams, I mean, they're firing. If you remember their first match, because of the injury, it really was disappointing. We knew, and I said as much at the time, I said, these two teams are capable of so much more, right? But this guy, he's bleeding out all over the place. It was unfortunate what happened. Tonight, we got a glimpse into what these two teams can do. Two of the best teams in all of wrestling. When they're healthy and there's no injury and there's no, you know, puddle of blood on the floor, these two teams can tear it up. Jim Ross spent about 20 seconds praising the officiating of referee Mike Posey before realizing that it was Paul Turner. They don't really look alike, but we'll excuse it. Harwood hit the Spike Brainbuster, which is the way that he won their first match at Fight for the Fallen. Got a great near fall out of that. Santana and Ortiz went for the street sweeper. Dax broke it up. And Cash hit a gory special face buster for a near fall. Dax hit a superplex, followed up by their big rig finish, the old shatter machine. And Santana broke up the pin with a dive into the pile. Santana hit a rolling cutter. Ortiz hit a lung blower. Santana with the thrust kick. And they hit another double-team inside-out suplex for the win. Very good match. Excellent match from these two teams. I enjoyed this. I would have been very happy to see them go another 5 or 6 minutes. So I enjoyed this a lot. Best thing on the entire show. You know, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I could be wrong. But I think these two teams, they're pretty good at this pro wrestling thing. I think they might have a future. Don't tell anybody I said that. That's just between you and me. So that evens things up. One win apiece. So Santana and Ortiz only need one more win. There's got to be a third match. They should pick up the win in the rubber match to win the feud. And then they can challenge for the tag team titles, possibly in New York later on this month. Although what happened at the end of the show tonight has me thinking, well, maybe not so fast based on the finish of that main event. We had a quick promo in the back. Daniel Garcia getting a lot of TV time lately. For somebody whose name I didn't even know a month ago, Daniel Garcia has been all over the place. He was with 2.0. They referred to him as their son. And Garcia talked about what he would do to Darby Allin. They're going to have a match on Rampage this Friday. So then it was time for the hometown son to make his return once more. CM Punk, back in Chicago. They were back in Chicago tonight, if I didn't mention that. They were at the very same building that they will be in on Friday. And they'll be back in that same building for the pay-per-view on Sunday. It's the old Sears Center, the Now Arena. They're going to have over 10,000 people in the building on Sunday. Not as big as the United Center, but a bigger building than they're used to running. So he came out. He got another really good response from the crowd. I mean, look, nothing is going to match what we got at the United Center. I mean, that's one of the biggest pops probably anybody in the history of wrestling on television has ever got. Let's be honest. And, you know, going into that show when Punk came back, had somebody asked me, oh, do you think this is going to rank as one of the top three or five biggest pops of all time? And I think I said no, maybe top 10. You know what, though? Credit to CM Punk. In Chicago, the guy is over. And when I look back at some of the biggest reactions that I could think, and look, I lived through the era, as many of you did, of all the Stone Cold pops in the Attitude Era. Some of you go back even farther to the glory days of the Road Warriors, right? They call it the Road Warrior pop. There have been a lot of top acts in wrestling that have gotten these deafening ovations from crowds all over the country, all over the world. Where does CM Punk's in Chicago rank? It ranks pretty high up on that list, near the top. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's number two, it's number one. It's definitely in that category, though. That's going to be a return that we remember for years to come. So he got a very nice reaction tonight, but nothing is going to match. First appearance in 7 years. I mean, that's just something you can't top. So he came out and he's enjoying it. You can tell he's got a big smile on his face and he's soaking up all the cheers. And he's asking people, are you sick of me yet? And they're like, no. Although I could tell some people online are already getting sick of him because, you know, that's just what happens, right? Somebody comes back, it takes a week, and already the people are getting sick of them. So he said that he could just come out to Cult of Personality every week and just feel the love and keep doing this for months on end. He would love to do this. So he said he's very nervous going into this match. He even admitted that he's scared. You know, first match in 7 years. Coming up on Sunday, doesn't really know what to expect. Crowd chanted, you still got it. He made a promise, or he was about to. He was about to make a promise to everybody in the building when all of a sudden down come Daniel Garcia and 2.0. And they attack CM Punk. 3-on-1 attack. Chance of Darby from the crowd. Garcia was raining the weakest elbows on CM Punk that I have ever seen. And I can understand this guy, you know, he's a young kid, he's being put in a big spot here, he's attacking CM Punk, the first person to attack CM Punk on television in 7.5 years. He doesn't want to hurt the guy going into Sunday, God forbid he fucking opens him up or something, concusses him or injures him, right? He's going to treat him with kid gloves, I get that. But this looked really weak. These blows did not look good. Thankfully, Darby and Sting came out. Even the odds, and they all hit their finishers. Sting hit a Scorpion Death Drop, and Darby hit a Coffin Drop, and CM Punk got Jeff Parker up on his shoulders, and he hit the GTS, the first go-to-sleep in more than 7 years on television that we have seen. I would have saved that for the pay-per-view. I would not have given that away here on this show. In fact, what I would have done, he could have picked up one of them for the GTS, and his partner grabs his leg, pulls him off, and saves him. I would not have given the first GTS away here on this show. But Sting grabs the microphone. And Sting says, you know, he's talking about how he knows Darby is ready for Sunday. And looking at Punk, he says, I know you're ready for Sunday as well. Said he's always wanted to share a ring with CM Punk. But unfortunately, their paths just never crossed. When Punk walked out of WWE in early 2014... Sting finally came to WWE at the end of the year. So like two ships passing in the night, their paths never crossed. Punk gave Undertaker one of his best WrestleMania matches, you know, in the last, whatever, you know, at that time, probably the last 10 years. Not as good as the matches he had with Shawn Michaels, but if Punk could go in there and have the kind of match he had with The Undertaker, WrestleMania 29, I think Punk and Sting back then in 2014, 2015, that could have been a hell of a match. But it just wasn't meant to be. I mean, hell, we might still get it at some point. We could very well get CM Punk against Sting at some point in the future. Not a match we're going to get anytime soon. So Sting said, it felt good here, beating up these guys to clear some traffic. He goes, we're going to clear some traffic on Sunday as well, including myself. Basically saying that he's going to come out on Sunday, he's going to fist bump his partner Darby Allin, and he's going to go to the back. He's going to take himself out of the equation because on Sunday it's not about Sting. It's about Darby Allin and it's about CM Punk. And the fans didn't boo or anything because I think the fans also realized this is not about Sting. It's about Punk and Darby. Sting does not need to be at ringside. So he removed himself from the equation. And he said, when Punk and Darby collide, it's going to be showtime. And I was thinking, you know, it would have been nice here in this segment instead of just Sting. It would have been nice to hear from Darby. But I spoke too soon. A little bit later on in the show, we got a video package, which I'll recap here. I may as well. And it was Darby talking about what Punk said, about the fact that if Punk were 15 years old, Darby Allin would be his favorite wrestler. Darby said, well, it's kind of funny because when he was 15, he says he was a fan of CM Punk. And 7 years ago, when Punk up and walked away, that was the year that Darby began his journey in pro wrestling. He said when Punk said that he was first on his list, it already felt like he was overlooking him. And he said that he would do the impossible. He would beat CM Punk in Chicago or he would die trying. I thought it was good stuff. Good stuff from Darby in that package. And as far as this segment, I liked it. I liked how they used Sting as the hype man. Not so much to hype himself up, although he was talking a little bit about himself, but it wasn't about him. They used Sting, a voice that has credibility, a legend. People respect him. They like him. I like the association with him and Darby. I think it's been a good partnership. And now they have Sting in the ring putting over both guys. I know Darby's ready. I know Sting is ready. And you know what? On Sunday, it's not about me. So I'm gonna fist bump this guy and go to the back, and I'm going to watch the match like everybody else. I like that they announced that this is what Sting is going to do. It's not about him. Is Sting going to get involved? Is there, you know, it's not about him. I like that they told you he's going to take himself out of the equation. So I liked it. I thought it was a good segment. I thought it was very effective for what they were trying to do. Hello, hello to everybody who is joining live in the chat. DiLorenzo, I see, just dropped a super chat. Thank you, DiLorenzo. I am going to read all of your messages. If you have questions for me, anything like that, send them on in. We'll have a little super chat party in a little while. Tony Schiavone sat down earlier in the day for an interview with Maxwell Jacob Friedman, as Tony called him the most disgusting and despicable human being that he has ever met. And think about the long career in pro wrestling that Tony Schiavone has had. Think of all the scumbags in the wrestling business that Tony has probably known or been around. It's covering a lot of ground. Anybody, he had this wonderful, just this wonderfully disgusted expression on his face as MJF began to speak. Just you could just read it on his face. Tony was great. He didn't do much here, but he didn't have to. He told a story with his facial expressions here in this segment. MJF brought up all of Jericho's nicknames going back to his days in Mexico and WCW, and he said 4 decades for Chris Jericho on top of professional wrestling. He will forever be etched in the Mount Rushmore of wrestling, but when it's all said and done, he said, MJF will take his place. He said, Jericho's got big shoes to fill. But like Muhammad Ali coming back for one too many fights, Jericho is on a downward spiral. And like Ali, Jericho is an addict. He needs the spotlight. That's why Jericho decided to put his career on the line. He said it all out. He's going to end up ending one of the greatest runs in wrestling history. He says it's poetic that The same yearning that brought Jericho to the dance will be the reason the music dies. Not as biting as I expected it to be from him, but again, effective. I thought the key stuff on this show, building up the top three, four matches on the show, was very effective. It was very good as far as what they did, not only here, but even later in the show when I talk about the interview in the ring with Jericho and Jim Ross. Jack Evans, this is one of the weak points of the show here. We had Jack Evans, who they never do anything with, one-on-one against Orange Cassidy. Matt Hardy went after Cassidy right away before the bell. Very upset, obviously, over Orange Cassidy breaking his face last week. So Bryce Remsburg sent Hardy to the back. And we had our first match on Dynamite, I believe our first match ever on AEW television, to end during a commercial break. During the picture-in-picture. First time ever. Cassidy rolled up Jack Evans for the win. When they came back in full screen, the match was already over, and Jack Evans was arguing with the referee. The match had already been decided. It was over, finished. It's not going to get me to pay any closer attention to the action when they put it in the little box during the breaks going forward. So it wasn't effective on me. And I see messages online from people, oh, this was cool. This was cool. A match ended during commercial. This was cool. No, it wasn't. The fucking match was over in a little tiny box on the screen. What's so cool about that? There's nothing cool about that. I don't care. Not that I cared much about this match to begin with, but it would have been nice to see the finish in full screen. They did replay it later on. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. No, it's so cool. It's so cool. It's different. It's different. Really? What's so cool about it? You're reaching. Don't try so hard. Not every segment on the show is a winner. Matt Hardy ran back down to the ring to attack. Chuck Taylor and Wheeler Yuta came out to make the save. But then out came the rest of the Hardy family office. They overwhelmed them. They had the numbers advantage. Jurassic Express ran out. Hardy family office bailed out of the ring. You know, I can't bring myself to care about any of this Hardy family office stuff. None of it. Matt Hardy, any of them. I actually think that it's not, you know, Private Party was linked up with Hardy months ago. They were baby faces. They linked up with Hardy. They went heel. Now they're part of his faction. And I ask you, all these months into this association with Private Party being part of the HFO, do you feel the association with Matt Hardy has actually lifted them? Because I don't. I mean, I think it's nice for them to probably work with Matt Hardy, and he probably teaches them a lot. Like, when the cameras are off and stuff, he's not a bad person to learn from. But as far as the Hardy family office stuff, it hasn't done Private Party any favors. And yes, they went heel, so it's a little bit different, but they're less over now than they were before. I just cannot get into any of this Hardy family office stuff. We already have enough factions as it is. This one ain't doing it for me. Jim Ross was in the ring to interview Chris Jericho for his comments in response to MJF. Jericho's putting his career on the line on Sunday. He does not win. He's done. You will never see him wrestle in AEW again. And again tonight, he threatened us. He threatened us by saying that if he loses, he'll go over to the announce desk and he'll make a new career over on commentary. He is threatening us. We must all root for a Chris Jericho victory. Normally, I wouldn't do that. MJF is the young star. I would like to see MJF go over, get another win over Jericho, and finally move on to something else. But this ain't building to an MJF win, I don't think. So, doesn't look that way to me. It's not looking good. If you're hoping for an MJF win on Sunday, I don't know about that. But Jim Ross is in the ring, and he's about to introduce Jericho, and he sounds like he's on the verge of tears. He's talking about Jericho, and, you know, it's bittersweet. He thinks Chris Jericho is making a mistake by putting his career on the line. So out comes Jericho, and He starts with, "Welcome to Chicago is Jericho." He says, "I had to go old school here and play off my old catchphrase because it could be the last time I'm ever able to do it." And before he goes on, he says, "The first thing I want to do here is just say that MJF is a piece of shit." Everybody popped. Starts listing off all the ways that he and MJF are very similar. They're very confident. They like to be shitsters. The two of them have a lot in common, according to Jericho. Said the only thing that Max has over him are 3 wins. And Jericho says he can't, you know, he just can't get over it. It's burned into his mind. If he tries to move on, all he's going to be able to think about is the fact that this guy has 3 wins over it. And he just can't. He can't go on like this. Said that he could go on to win more championships. He could go on to have more big matches in AEW and do all sorts of fun stuff. But he couldn't live with himself if he had to look in the mirror and know that he couldn't beat MJF. So that's why he made the stipulation. He had to prove to himself that he could do it by taking the risk. And if something goes wrong, again, he threatened to walk over to the announce desk full time. Oh, boy. Said he didn't want it to end. He told MJF that he would have to be the best he's ever been to beat him. Said that he'd have to break every bone in his body. Said he didn't have the balls to beat him. And Jericho told MJF that he would see him on Sunday, and he called him a prick. I thought it was exactly what it needed to be. You know, nice little explanation for why he felt the need to put that stipulation in the match. I have to say this, though. The promo itself was fine. I had no issue with that. But again, what is the point of having Jim Ross or having Tony Schiavone go down to the ring and stand in the ring to conduct these in-ring interviews when the person that they're in the ring with 9 times out of 10, is just either going to take the mic out of their hand or have a microphone of their own? And then Tony, or in this case, Jim Ross, is just going to stand in the corner, lean on the ropes, and just watch. What is the point? Why even bother doing it? Why not just send Jericho down to the ring with a microphone in his hand? I just don't understand it. It's completely pointless to me. They do it with Tony all the time. It's like a running gag at this point, but they did the same thing here with Jim Ross. If they're going to cut the promos by themselves, then why bother? And it's too bad because, you know, I talked about this on the podcast on Sunday. Ringside News had the report, and then Bodyslam.net, you know, backed them up, that Jim Ross very soon may be off commentary full-time in AEW. He may be leaving the announce booth, only doing special events, big-time matches, and doing more sit-down-style interviews with the talent. I think that would be his strong suit. I think doing a pre-taped sit-down interview or doing an in-ring interview like this, if they would fucking let him, would be his strong suit. And then when there is a major match, like a big pay-per-view main event or something, you can have Jim Ross out there as the third announcer with Excalibur and Tony Schiavone to call the match. You know, not unlike when WWE would bring him in for the occasional WrestleMania match. I think that would be a great role for Jim Ross. I think him doing interviews in the ring like this would be good. But it ain't going to happen if the person he's interviewing is just going to take over the interview, which is too bad, because I think this would be the perfect role. We had Brian Cage one-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. Cage attacked Hobbs during his entrance. They brawled around for a while. They go to break. They come back from break. Hobbs is mocking Cage. He came back with a flatliner. Cage hit an exploder for a near fall. Both guys start trading finisher attempts back and forth. Hobbs hits a beautiful Arn Anderson-esque spine buster. Really, ever since he came into the company, I think I've always praised his. He's got a great spine buster. You know, he really gets his weight under there. Stylistically, it looks just like when Arn used to hit it. It's great. I love it. It's the perfect move for him. Cage comes back, though, hits an F5, followed by a vertical suplex. So now Hook. Hook is out there. And Hook jumps up on the apron for the distraction. Ricky Starks runs down. He hits Cage with the FTW title belt. He falls backwards right into the clutches of Hobbs, who hits the Oklahoma Stampede for the win. There were a few nice spots in this match. This was not anything special. The whole point was to get to Starks with the belt shot at the end. Neither of these guys, or really any of them, really, including Starks, are on the card on Sunday. So they're not even on the pay-per-view. I don't know what, you know, exactly when they're building to a rematch between Cage and Starks. Obviously, it's coming. It'll be on TV. But rest of the match, eh. Filler. That's what this was. We got a video from Malakai Black. Very brief. Very short. He was talking about Lee Johnson, who, if you remember, after Black beat up Arn Anderson and beat up his son, Lee Johnson came down and Malakai Black left the ring as if he's afraid of Lee Johnson. So he talked about Lee and said that, unlike with his other victims, the Andersons, he's going to take his time making Lee Johnson suffer once they get in the ring together. He said he's going to take two coins. He's going to place them over his eyelids so that he could pay the boatman's toll when he arrives down in Hades. I like that. The whole coins on the eyelids thing, I like that. I like that. I want him to do that, too. I want that to be his gimmick. Maybe 1 week it's a nickel, the next week it's a dime, then maybe a silver dollar. That would be different. Ted DiBiase used to shove dollar bills, $100 bills down people's throats, jobbers their throat, right? Malakai Black would put two coins on their eyelids. They're going to have that match on television this Friday on Rampage. Malakai Black, not on the card on Sunday. Would have been nice maybe if they can't do Andrade and Pac to have Malakai Black in a match on Sunday. Although they haven't set anyone up for him other than Lee Johnson. So maybe they could have bumped that match to the pay-per-view. Obviously, Cody is not ready to come back. You know, I got to say, we talked about Cody a month ago when they first did the angle where he beat up Cody. And he beat Cody on TV. With the idea being that Cody will come back eventually and get his win back. But honestly, does Cody need to get his win back? I would prefer that he not get his win back. I actually think that would be a huge negative if Cody came back, let's say, in a few weeks, even if another month went by, and he comes back and they have a rematch and he beats Malakai Black. Why? Why does he need to beat Malakai Black? I like what they've done with Malakai so far. They've got something in him. He shouldn't lose for a while. There's no need for Cody to beat him. So when Cody comes back, if they are going to match them back up again, I'd have Malakai beat him again. I don't see any need for Cody to get his win back against this guy. I would just keep on rolling with Malakai Black. As soon as this video ended, it was immediately into the next segment. You could hear QT Marshall in the ring on the microphone already speaking. There was no pause. There was no time to even digest what we had just seen. As I was writing down some of the stuff that he talked about in his promo, there's QT already going right into the next segment. This is an example of what I'm talking about. They really have to do a better job of just spacing things out a little bit better on this show. They tried to stuff so much material and content in there. Things do not flow from one segment to the next the way that they should. It's a very frenetic pace. Now, there are positives to that. It kind of keeps the energy level of the show up, unlike certain other shows that I can mention. But they've got to do a better job of transitioning from one segment to the next where it's just one ends and then boom, literally right into the next one. Someone's already in mid-sentence in the middle of the ring. Now, I didn't care in this case because it was fucking QT Marshall, so who gives a shit? But it was immediately into the next segment with QT Marshall. He was already in the ring with the rest of his factory trainees getting the jobber entrance. They got the jobber entrance here. Well, if the bowling shoe fits. Speaking of which, very nice of QT to stop by the arena for his big bowling game tonight. You saw what he was wearing. Tell me that he's not on his way to a fucking bowling game when this show is over tonight. I want to know what his handicap is. Well, what's his average? My bowling average used to be pretty good, actually. I used to average a 174 as a bowler. Not too bad. I bet I can take QT Marshall in a bowling game. So he called out Paul White. And White came out. He was immediately, as soon as he got in the ring, he was overwhelmed by all of the factory members, and then he did the big exploding spot out of the corner where everybody goes flying. And he had a choke slam on one of the nameless students. Aaron Solo was perched up top. He didn't see him, but as soon as he turned around, here comes Aaron Solo. He swats him in midair. Out comes the Gun Club. Billy Gunn and his spawn, they run down to the ring. Billy's got a chair. And I didn't think anything of this. They're standing there. It looked like the segment was over. QT was already halfway up the ramp. I said, great, segment's over. Let's go on to the next one. Then they show us an image of in the ring of Big Show standing there. And there's Billy Gunn. I didn't notice at first that he had a chair in his hand. And I see he's got a chair. And they're still, they're lingering. And Billy is kind of behind him. And I go, oh boy, here we go. And sure enough, picks up the chair and he hits Paul White in the hip, his surgically repaired hip, with the chair. Down goes Paul White. And QT has this stunned expression on his face. You can't believe it. He's shocked. Then he hits him. Billy hits Big Show in the head with the chair. And the Gun Boys leave. And the factory all climb back into the ring. They start ganging up. They pick the Big Show up so that QT can get... He delivered the worst diamond cutter that I have ever seen in my life. And that was how the segment ended, with him standing tall. They get this aerial shot looking down of him standing over Big Show's dead body in the middle of this ring. We got a Billy Gunn heel turn on the Big Show in 2021. A swing and a miss, this segment was. Swing and a miss. They pulled a New York Mets here on the show tonight. This segment was not for me. I will give the devil his due. QT got good heel heat at the end of this segment. He was vociferously booed at the end of this segment. And you didn't hear a chance of, you know, please retire. They used to chant that at Big Show all the time. Like, they weren't chanting anything. They were booing QT. So they got the desired effect. QT got the heat that he was looking for. I don't need Billy Gunn turning heel on Big Show on my television. I don't need to be seeing this. Big Show, it got him back in the ring. He's going to get his comeback match. He should get a win over QT. Maybe they'll send Shaq out when the match is over. Big Show wants that match. He still wants it. He wants the match with Shaq. Shaq has said that he's going to wrestle again for AEW. I'm not saying it's going to be good. It'll be an attraction. Maybe he beats QT and then out comes Shaq and we get the big stare down between the two giants on Sunday. Just a thought. Tony Schiavone was in the back with Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter. Yes, Boomerang in the chat. I am aware of the fact that the GM of the Mets was busted last night for a DUI. He pulled a Jimmy Uso last night. You know, can we go one fucking week without this team being in the news? Just one. That's all I ask for. 1 week without a New York Mets story. An injury, a dumb comment. They're thumbing down their fan base. I thought WWE hated their fans. I found another organization that hates their fans. Now we got DUIs. There's sex scandals and sexual harassment. 1 week is all I want of no news. Remember when I did that bracket on the podcast a while back of all the ridiculous Mets stories from over the years? This whole tournament, like a Sweet 16 bracket. Give it a couple more months. I'm going to have a whole new bracket with another 36 or whatever the number was. I'm going to have to do another one. Anyway, Schiavone's in the back. Britt Baker, Rebel, and Jamie Hayter are with him. And Britt Baker announces that Rebel and Hayter are going to be in the casino battle royal at All Out. They are officially in the match. Then she starts teasing that she has this new long-term contract signing. It's almost like she's teasing a new wrestler coming in who's just signed this new deal with AEW to come in. Obviously teasing. They want people to think Adam Cole. And then she says, me, I've signed a new long-term contract with AEW. And She said as part of those negotiations, she asked Tony Khan that Chris Statlander, her opponent on Sunday, be part of a handicap match on Rampage this Friday, which she will be. It'll be Chris Statlander 1-on-2 against Rebel and Jamie Hayter. That's coming up on Friday. No news, by the way, speaking of Adam Cole, nothing new. He is officially a free agent. He is free to go wherever he wants. He's got no non-compete. He is out of WWE. That does not mean that he will not sign a new deal with WWE, although I think at this point it's very unlikely. I'm feeling pretty good about this. I'm feeling pretty confident that we're going to see Adam Cole anywhere but WWE. And obviously, I think it'll be AEW. Britt Baker has been dropping a lot of little teases on social media. She's playing with people, but I don't know that she would be doing that unless the ultimate landing spot for him was going to be in AEW. So I'm more confident now that he will be in AEW than I would have been 2 weeks ago. But there is still no news, although there is a pay-per-view on Sunday. I think we're definitely going to get a couple of debuts on Sunday. Will he be one of them? I don't know that I would do it on Sunday. I would save him for a later date. They got a big stadium show coming. You got to save some surprises for New York, right? Don't give these Chicago people all the good stuff, right? I mean, even though we have the better pizza here in New York, I mean, that's a given. Just saying. It's just a fact. I mean, come on. Ty Conti, 1-on-1 against Penelope Ford. I believe this was a rematch from Rampage last week, if I'm not mistaken. So Penelope hit a handspring spear. Conti came back with a slam for a near fall. Penelope went for the Muda Lock. And Conti fought out of it, applied a calf slicer, and Ford fought to reach the ropes. Conti was hitting repeated strikes in the corner. And Penelope countered with a double knee gut buster for two. So Penelope then distracts the referee. She distracts the official. Bunny gets up on the apron. She had hopped down to the ring. The bunny is on the apron, and Ty Conti pushes the bunny off the apron down to the floor. And she rolls up Penelope Ford for the win. So Ty Conti gets the W. And then she gets attacked by Ford and the bunny. After the match, all of a sudden we hear the Dark Order music. And down to the ring comes number 99 herself, the lovely Anna Jay. Jungle Boy's better half. Always good to see Anna Jay. I will never complain about seeing Anna Jay on my TV. It's good to see her back. She has been out for a number of months after shoulder surgery. She is best friends with Ty Conti, so it made sense that she would come out to help her. And immediately, this woman just showed up on television. We have not seen her on television in months. And Excalibur says, I'm just hearing now from Tony Khan that Anna Jay will be in the Women's Battle Royal on Sunday. So you could throw her name on the list as well. But great to see Anna Jay back. Thunder Rosa was in the back. She was being interviewed by Alex Marvez about her chances of winning the Casino Battle Royale, when she was interrupted by Jade Cargill and Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose was there with Vicky Guerrero. Jade Cargill was there with Smart Mark, her manager, Smart Mark Sterling. Rosa looked to her left. She looked to her right. She said, well, if I'm going down, I'm going down swinging. And she attacked Nyla Rose. And then, of course, Jade Cargill got in on it and they beat her down. Rose and Cargill, they faced off and their respective managers held them apart. Sterling said, hey, let's save this until the pay-per-view so we can make some money off of this. So Jade Cargill is in the Battle Royal as well as Nyla Rose. Thunder Rosa, we know Rebel is in there. Jamie Hayter is in there. Anna Jay, probably Ty Conti. I don't have the whole list in front of me. We'll run everything down on Friday night. But the Battle Royal is filling up. Although I think I know who number 21 is going to be. I think I know who's going to be making her AEW debut as the Joker entrant. And it's not going to be AJ Lee. CM Punk made that very clear. He did an interview with the New York Post. I think he talked about it on Busted Open Radio as well. There were some rumors that AJ Lee maybe she'll be the Joker entrant in the Battle Royal on Sunday. Not going to happen. As he said, there is concern about her neck. That is part of the reason why she no longer wrestles. She had some cervical spinal issues. And he made it very clear that there are neck issues and he doesn't want to see her get hurt. She doesn't want to get hurt. So We can put that to bed. AJ Lee will not be on the pay-per-view on Sunday. She will not be wrestling. We had the Lucha Bros in the main event, teaming up with Jurassic Express against the Young Bucks and the Good Brothers, who are basically on the AEW roster at this point. I mean, they're probably on Dynamite more than they're even on Impact. They're basically AEW official roster members at this point. This is not part of the forbidden door where, hey, we need some guys 1 week. They're on the fucking show every week, these two. So Gallows and Luchasaurus, they kicked things off. They were trading blows in the corner. Luchasaurus hit a nice vertical suplex. Rey Fénix, Nick Jackson tagged in, and they had a go at it there for a while. And both teams then faced off. Good Brothers ran in. They cut the Lucha Bros off. They went to break. Come back from commercial. Jungle Boy tagged in Rey Fénix, and Rey Fénix had the people on their feet. Chicago gave this guy a standing ovation mid-match. Rey Fénix is awesome. And the fans were showing their appreciation. He hit a DVD to Nick Jackson. Penta heads up top, comes off, double foot stomp to the nuts. You would think that would be enough, but Nick Jackson kicked out. Luchasaurus then tags in. He hits a standing moonsault press on Carl Anderson for a near fall. Penta tagged in. Lucha Bros set up for the Fear Factor, but the referee was distracted. Brandon Cutler sprays cold spray in Phoenix's eyes when he's climbing up top. Good Brothers hit a magic killer on Fénix. Got a great near fall out of that. Fénix countered a BTE trigger. They tried to hit the trigger, did Matt and Nick, but he ducked out of the way. Fénix hit a double handspring cutter on both Bucks, and he fought off the Good Brothers, but the Bucks caught a crossbody. They caught him coming off the top rope, and then they held him, and they turned it into a Meltzer driver, and they got the win. They actually pinned Rey Fénix in this match. The challenger was pinned by the champion. Here on the go-home, or one of the go-home shows to their match on pay-per-view. Match is over now. Kenny Omega and Michael Nakazawa walk down to the ring. Out comes the champion. They're beating up the baby faces. Kenny Omega is on the mic. He's taunting all of them. In this very, he does this sometimes and it kind of drives me nuts where he uses this voice where it seems like he's acting, like he's play acting. And I get that it's part of his shtick. It's who he is. I find it very annoying. I find it very phony. He was kind of doing that here in this segment, just this very monotone, kind of boring, phony voice that he puts on, where I have a hard time taking anything he's doing or saying seriously when he does that. But he's on the mic. He's calling for the cage to be lowered. So they already had the cage set up for the match on Sunday. They're going to be in the same building anyway on Sunday, so the cage is going to be hanging there for the next 4 or 5 days. The cage is lowered, and you know, their cage, it's the chain link mesh cage, but they have, it's very, very high. I mean, this is like a legitimate, it's got to be every bit of 18 to 20 feet. It's a tall cage. They lower the cage down, and all the baby faces now are being beaten down. They're trapped inside the cage. Although before the cage actually fully came down, the Good Brothers gave Luchasaurus a magic killer through a table out on the floor. So that took him out of the equation. But as the cage is being lowered, the Elite is beating everybody down with kendo sticks. A bunch of people run out. Frankie Kazarian runs out. Dante Martin runs out. Orange Cassidy runs out. They're trying to scale the cage and they keep getting knocked down. They're getting cold sprayed right in the face, falling off. The Lucha Bros got handcuffed. We talk about kendo sticks. You want to talk about something else that's overdone in wrestling recently? Handcuffs. I think we can leave the kendo sticks and the handcuffs out for a while. So the Lucha Bros get handcuffed to the ropes. And Christian Cage had run down. And he got beaten down. He eats a BTE trigger. So now Christian is down. And that's how they went off the air. But this went on for a long time. It almost sounded like Omega's talking and they're kind of giving him the cues that we're not done yet, so just like stretch it, you know, drag it out a little bit more. That's what it felt like to me. They actually had excess time at the end and they were just trying to kill time until it was time to go off the air. Because I think this went on a little too long. This felt like it dragged at the very end. But what they wanted to do is they wanted to establish that nobody is getting in or out of the cage once that cage is lowered on Sunday. Now, they say this about every cage match. How many times do we hear this in not just AEW, but WWE as well? Right? Oh, it's a cage match, so nobody's going to be able to get in. And, of course, it's bullshit. We know better. But they were trying to establish by everybody trying to get in and being knocked off that once that cage comes down, these four guys on Sunday for the tag titles, that's it. They're locked in there like animals. Nobody's getting in, nobody's getting out. Now, I mentioned that Rey Fénix took the pin on the Meltzer driver at the end of that match. I was not expecting that. That surprises me, because what that tells me is that we're probably getting a tag team title change on Sunday. How are you going to pin Rey Fénix in this match and then beat the Lucha Bros again on Sunday? I was kind of waiting for Santana and Ortiz to get that match with the Bucks. Nobody can beat the Young Bucks, right? They've been champions now for months. And you get to New York, and Santana and Ortiz, who have not had a taste yet of tag team gold in this company, get a big win in their home market in front of their home fans and their family. They finally are the ones to unseat the Bucks as the tag team champions. It could still happen. But I think it's a lot less likely based on the finish they did here at the end of this show. How do you not give Rey Fénix and Penta the win after what we saw at the end of this match? Rampage is live on Friday. It's going to be the go-home show, the official go-home show to All Out. Malakai Black one-on-one against Lee Johnson. Chris Statlander against Rebel and Jamie Hayter in a handicap match. Darby Allin one-on-one against Daniel Garcia, getting his second Rampage main event in 3 weeks. This show hasn't even been on the air for a full month, and he's already had main event matches with Jon Moxley and now Darby Allin on this show. Boy, do they think highly of him. And they're really milking CM Punk in Chicago for all he's worth. Boy, they're milking him more than a fucking cow. CM Punk will be live on Rampage this Friday. Don't know what he's going to be doing, but he'll be there. Maybe he'll be eating ice cream in the corner. They want everybody to know that CM Punk will be back on Rampage this Friday. I will be back this Friday. I'm going to be live after Rampage. We did a watch-along last week. It went well. I enjoyed it. Maybe we'll do more in the future at some point, but no more watch-alongs. We're back to the review, live. As soon as Rampage is over, you can come on back here to the channel. I will have a full review, and I think what I'll do is I will save my all-out predictions, and we'll do one big stream on Friday night. We'll talk about Rampage, and then I will run through the entire card and give my all-out predictions. We'll do that on Friday night. How's that sound? We'll go live on a Friday night. We'll have some fun. That sounds like a plan to me. Let's check the poll and see how Dynamite is doing. This was the 100th episode, by the way, of AEW Dynamite. 79.5% thumbs up and about 20.5% on the thumbs down side. So you guys seem to be liking the show tonight. And I have a poll running in the live chat. We've got 89% up and 11% down, with a little over 650 votes on that side, 1,100 on Twitter. So go ahead, if you're in the live chat, go ahead and vote. And if you are not following me on Twitter, I don't know what the hell you're waiting for, but you better get on that. At Solomonster. That is the place to go. I'll be live tweeting all weekend, including during the All Out pay-per-view. And so I hope you will join me then. It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. CM Punk's first match in more than 7 years. And I also think we're getting another big name on Sunday night, right? It seems pretty obvious that we're going to get a big name on the level of a CM Punk making his AEW debut on Sunday. No, I'm not talking about Braun Strowman. So it's going to be a big night. Big, big night. So what did you guys think of this show? That's what I want to know. Got any comments? You got any questions for me? Now is the time to get them in, because we are going to take a look at your super chats here and see what you thought of the show here tonight. And welcome, by the way, to all of the fine folks who are joining us and all of our new channel members and all of our new subscribers. Glad to have you. The weather outside has died down. It's actually a little quiet outside for a change. It has been very scary. Obviously not as scary as it would be if you are in Louisiana and some of those states. And I know we have listeners, fans of the show who are, you know, maybe not in Louisiana, but around that area. And we have people who are in Louisiana. And I hope that everybody is doing well. A lot of people lost their homes. They talked about Grand Isle. I was watching the news a little bit earlier. This one particular area in New Orleans completely just decimated. 95% of the people there are without homes. It's crazy. So we're only getting the remnants of a lot of this stuff. But it's very scary. Always this time of year with the hurricanes and tornadoes and everything, it's always a very scary time of year. You know, we don't have the kind of devastation that a lot of those people have, but we did, you know, we still remember Sandy from, you know, 9 years ago. And we definitely don't want to see a repeat of anything like that. That's for sure. All right, so let's get into your chats here. Let's see. Yeah, my slotty obsession. Again, wow. Dropping $300 earlier on. Decent show. That ending was a little too long. AEW is still better than average every week for the most part. That is from Philip and Tiffany. Philip and Tiffany, thank you very much. That is very kind of you. And again, check out their YouTube channel. That is their name, My Slotty Obsession. If you're into casino play and just any kind of, you know, casino games and poker and all kinds of stuff like that, they have these little, I call them bite-sized videos on their channel. They're very quick and easy to digest. It's kind of calming to watch, to be honest with you. So go ahead and check out their channel. Ryan Spies, based undefeated Colton Gunn. Yeah, let's not make Colton Gunn a thing. Can we not do that? Quintus Brown, pretty good go-home show. Sucks that we're not getting Pac and Andrade at All Out. I am disappointed in that. You know, again, I understand the circumstances are what they are. Sometimes they, you know, that kind of stuff, that kind of stuff can't be helped. You know, I get it. I understand, but it doesn't make it any less disappointing. Jacob Donnelly, far better show this week, but QT Marshall drags the show down for me. His whole feud cannot end fast enough. I agree. I meant what I said, by the way, about the bowling game. I'd kick his ass in that game, man. It's been a while since I've played. I used to have a ball with my name on it. I had my name on my balls when I used to play bowling, man. I had my bowling shoes, custom shoes, not that shit where you go and you take shoes that other people have worn. Fuck that. I had my rosin bag. I had my glove. I took it seriously. I took it more seriously than QT Marshall does, I'll tell you that much. Jose Llanos. That QT Marshall segment could have been picture in picture and still had the same impact. Yeah, maybe. How come the QT Marshall segment couldn't end during the picture in picture? How come it had to be the Orange Cassidy Jack Evans match? The Cheeseburger 666 plot twist. Jericho wins his match against MJF and does full-time commentary for Rampage just to make Solo Monster happy. Why? Why would you even suggest something like this? Why do you hate David Lozano? Can we get your rendition of Paul White's theme? Well, it's the big slow. It'd be a little slower now that he got hit in the hip with that chair by Billy Gunn. Ryan Spies, Gun Club turning heel was bigger than Hogan Bash at the Beach 1996. You know what? I think you're right. This is going to be the start of a new war here. Rodimus Prime with the $40 Super Chat drop. Rodimus, thank you, my friend. Not a good show after the CM Punk segment. Was not feeling it tonight. That said, prayers for Daphne. Yeah, do we have any update on Daphne? I should probably check and see. You let me know in the chat. I'm going to check real quick here. I'm literally getting ready to go on the air tonight, and I'm seeing all these tweets from wrestlers who are just so concerned. And, you know, you hear about stories. Oh, it's even trending. Look at this. Daphne is trending on Twitter right now. Let's see what the update is. All right, well, this is the last update that I can see here from Sean Ross Sapp. He did post an hour ago. Emergency services have been contacted to go to her most recent home address. I've been told emergency services have been dispatched to a couple of known addresses and are still making efforts to contact her. Her family has been reached and have her current address. She had moved in the past couple of weeks. Police have been dispatched. And that's the last update. So, pretty scary stuff. Hopefully everything is okay. That's all I can say. I think we've had enough stories about wrestlers' suicide, and we don't need another one. We don't need to be doing any eulogies on the podcast. Tuxedo T. Servo. My kid is in New Hampshire. Lots of rain, but looks like the wind is not an issue here. Hope you keep power and stay safe. Yeah, again, things were flickering before. It's been fine during the stream, though, so I don't want to jinx it, but everything has been okay. Kareem, dropping $4. Hello, he says. Been listening since 2013. Random question. Have you ever had dilating pupil eye drops? I'm getting them tomorrow and I'm scared of it. Yes, I've had that done. It's not a big deal. You got nothing to worry about. When I would go get an eye exam and stuff, it was standard. It would put the drops. It would just tell you not to drive. It doesn't burn. It doesn't hurt. You're not going to go blind. Trust me. You'll be fine. DiLorenzo with the $7. Ooh, that's a creepy super chat that just popped up here. Bobby Lashley sticking that tongue out. It says, how do you think the buy rate will be for All Out? I genuinely think this is AEW's biggest show. Kind of feels like All In. At least to me, love to get your thoughts. Funny you mention All In. I'm going to be talking about All In on the history segment. The final installment of this week in wrestling history coming up on Sunday. We're talking about All Out. We're talking about the first... Well, we're talking about All In and the first All Out. It's part of the segment. Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting test to CM Punk's drawing power. Because now we're not talking about a TV rating. We're talking about a pay-per-view. AEW's done some pretty strong pay-per-view numbers. Now that they have CM Punk in his first match, there's no reason to think they shouldn't double whatever their biggest number is. I would expect them, and if I'm them, I'm hoping to double whatever my biggest number is. I don't see any reason for them not to. I would think anything less than that would be a disappointment. You're promoting his first match in 7 years. Sounds pretty big to me. Epsilon Sama, yes, we were just talking about the Daphne situation. Thank you for the $2. First time online, dropping two. I use a VPN to watch AEW, and it is always full screen. Well, I hope you're using ExpressVPN. I have a link and a code that you can use. Ryan Spies, I hope when Jericho becomes a full-time commentator, he speaks louder. He's a little too quiet. You know what? I think you're right. He's very timid. Somebody has to bring this guy out of his shell. He seems a little too shy. Jared M. dropping $45. Jared. We talked to Jared on the phone last week. We took phone calls on Friday. For the first time in a while. And the last time for a while. But Jared was on the phone with us. Chatting up. Dropping $45 tonight. Thank you, Jared. I salute you, sir. Wow, Chezza. In the chat says, good morning, Mr. Monster, 5:20 a.m. by my side. That is very early. Where are you? 5:20 in the morning. Where are you, Chezza? Deuce, seeing some crazy video of the flooding out your way tonight. Stay safe. Yeah, we're getting, it's pretty bad. And I live on a street where at the end of the street, it kind of slopes a little bit, so it always floods down there. But I think people out on Long Island, like parts of Long Island, or actually where Jared might be, Long Island always gets hit by, you know, all these big rainstorms and stuff. My friend, his garage always floods out. You got to worry about the cars. Where do you put them? It's awful. And it seems to be getting worse and worse every year. You notice that? Funny how that works. Anti-M Bishop 07, Evening Solomonster on Twitter. I proposed Black and Dustin as a replacement for Pac and Andrade. Cody getting his win back would be 50-50 booking. Yeah, you know what? I don't need to see Cody getting his win back. I would advise against that. I don't see the need for Cody to get his win back. As far as Dustin, I don't know if he's out with an injury or not. We haven't seen him on TV recently, so I don't know if he is hurt or not, but obviously they elected not to go that way. Hey, Planeta. I see Calvo in the chat. Greetings from Argentina. I think he's done some... if that's who I'm thinking it is, I think he's done some pretty cool artwork of me in the past. He does some very impressive work. South Africa. Okay, Cheza is in South Africa. I was wondering, where is it 5:20 in the morning where you are? But Anti-M Bishop, thank you very much. And Deuce, thank you to you as well. Groovy Goose with the $4.99. Speaking of the Mets, what are your thoughts on the players giving you, a Mets fan, the thumbs down? It sounds dumb, but if it isn't, it is not the Mets. Yes, of course it is. It's fucking stupid. The team had to put a statement out because they were embarrassed by it. The fans, when they buy a ticket and they go to a game, fans cheer, they boo. They do a wave, or they boo. When the Mets go on one of these awful streaks that they go on quite commonly, the fans have a right to boo. Now you can say, well, the players have a right to boo. But think about how dumb that is. When Baez goes out there and says, well, you know, the fans boo us when we do badly. Well, when we do good, we're going to give them the thumbs down. He's a fucking idiot, is what he is. Of course it's stupid. It's embarrassing. But then again, it wouldn't be the Mets if they weren't doing something at some point to embarrass their fan base. But Groovy Goose, I thank you. I thank you for your super chat. I thank you for your support. He was one of the first people in the chat tonight. Alberto Ortiz, thoughts on the Mets players booing their fan? Boy, you people really want to get me riled up about the Mets, man. I could probably have a whole podcast dedicated to the Mets every week. I have the sound off, and then I have the Mets. And I would have just as many rants on the Mets as I do about Monday Night Raw. But I only have so many hours in the day. I have to focus on this. I must focus on this. Willie Eicher. Oh, Willie. Willie, I was at the show tonight. Dropping $20. Just got back home from the Now Arena. Great show. Great crowd. Got two more shows to go to. Keep doing what you're doing. Yeah, I saw Willie and Mama Eicher. I hope you guys had a good time. And they are going to be at the pay-per-view on Sunday. Every time wrestling comes to Chicago, they're always there. They're always front and center. Naif Al-Safar, dropping $9.99. Good to see Naif joining us tonight. B. Vincent, 86. The last time the Mets won the World Series was 86. Lucha Bros win the titles, drop the belts to Proud and Powerful in New York. Lucha Bros turn heel and join with Andrade. You know what? I like that plan. I really do. I like that plan. So you have two babyface teams. Santana and Ortiz get the win. And then they're so upset by losing that they turn heel and link up with Andrade, and we have a new faction. All you're doing is trading Death Triangle for a new faction with Andrade. So it's not like another faction. You're basically killing one off in favor of a new one. I'm going to guess that the travel issues have to do with PAC. And if that's the case, this is just another example of there being, you know, travel-related issues, probably due to COVID, with PAC. I like Death Triangle and all, but I feel like we barely ever see them together. And I feel like they could probably get more mileage, frankly, out of a group with Andrade and Penta and Rey Fénix. The only thing is, you know, you saw tonight with Rey Fénix, the people love Rey Fénix. He is a very dynamic performer. When he is in the ring doing the stuff that he does, you naturally want to cheer for him. So, is he not better as a babyface? But I don't hate that idea. Let's see. Who is it? There we go. Mario DeRose with $4.99. Sala Monster, buy or sell. 1987 or 1997 if you had to go back and relive 1 year in wrestling. Of those two, I would say 1997 because I was older and I can appreciate it more, and it was more fun. You had two companies going to war back and forth, people jumping back and forth. It's a fun time. It's a fun time to be a fan. Paul Heyman. Since Eva Marie has the Evolution and Lily has the Lilylution, does that mean the Salomon... Thank you, Paul Heyman. Very clever super chat. Jose Leanos. Sound Off Gamer Bowling. Well, you know, if I could find a bowling game that my system will actually let me play, that could be something. I used to play bowling on Nintendo. I don't remember the name of the game, but on my old NES, they had a bowling game I used to play. Joseph Brooks. Buy or sell on two wrestlers who had great chemistry together that WWE never did anything with. Booker T and Eddie Guerrero or Shawn Michaels and Owen Hart? Two wrestlers who had great chemistry together that WWE never did anything with. They did stuff with all four of those guys. I don't really know what you mean. You mean like an extended program or... Because they certainly did a lot with Shawn Michaels, and they did stuff with Owen and Eddie and Booker. All of them were world champions except Owen. So I don't quite understand the question. But if you were going to ask me buy or sell on which match I would prefer to see, Sean and Owen had some really good matches. I'd have to go with Sean and Owen. Dry chicken without flavor. It's great to see Darby, Sting, and CM Punk in the same ring. Tony Khan is making pro wrestling feel cool again. Dry chicken again. I'm glad Matt Riddle ruffled some feathers in WWE after his interview comments about Roman Reigns. He ain't walking on eggshells for no one. Well, you know, it could work against him, so maybe politically it isn't the best thing for him to be doing. But as I said on the podcast on Sunday, and the clip is up here on the channel, I like the fact that this guy, he gets it. He knows what he's doing. He's trying to stir things up. And it certainly worked. He got a lot of people talking this past week. I don't know that Roman Reigns is going to necessarily appreciate those comments. Khaled Adam, thoughts on Awesome Kong retiring? I thought that the segment was very well done. I actually did a review of the NWA Women's pay-per-view on the podcast. And the clip is up here on the channel as well. So I talked about that segment on Sunday, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was well done. We haven't seen Kong wrestle in a few years. She had a bad back. She was doing some acting on that Glow TV show. So her career has, I mean, really, you know, her career has been over for a while. But I thought her having that emotional moment in the ring with Gail Kim, her best opponent, and the two of them embracing and then walking off together, that shot of them walking down the aisle, I thought that was great. I thought it was the perfect way for her to call it a day. Yeah, there was somebody who wanted to know what Paul Heyman said. I'm going to read this again because he got me. But Paul Heyman, I want to read his super chat here from before. He said what he said was, because I didn't finish reading it. Since Eva Marie has the Evolution and Lily has the Lilylution, does that mean the Solemn Monster has the Solution? And I was not expecting that. Hence the dead air that I will now have to edit out of the audio, because otherwise people are going to download this show and they're going to think that their feed got cut or something. So now, thank you for the extra work I now have to put in to get this shit edited in the morning. Thank you, Paul Heyman. Yeah, I saw NWA 73 as well. I'll probably talk a little bit about that on the show next weekend. I enjoyed it for the most part. I thought that they had two really good shows this past weekend. But the women's one as well, I enjoyed it. You know, there were a couple of things that weren't so good, but on the whole, I thought they were good shows. Jason J with the $5. FYI, if you have ExpressVPN, you can watch All Out on the Fight app for $20. Were you at Penn Station for good old Shotgun Saturday night? By the way, you can use ExpressVPN, our link, expressvpn.com/Solemonster. I was not at Penn Station. If I was working back then in the city, I totally would have been there. But no, I unfortunately was not at Penn Station. I was not at Penn Station. I was not at, what were some of the other places they went to? They were at Webster Hall. I'd been to Webster Hall, but not for the show. What was the name of the first nightclub? The Mirage. They were at the Mirage nightclub in New York for the very first Shotgun Saturday night. I didn't go to any of those shows. Quintus Brown, what's next for Mox after All Out? Go after the TNT title or go heel and feud with Punk? I kind of think he's going to keep going after these New Japan people. I don't think he's done with New Japan and eventually wrestling Tanahashi. But in the interim, if he was going to feud with someone, you know, I still feel like it's too early for Punk. I don't know that they would go directly into Punk and Mox. I would. I would consider doing it. I mean, Punk has a whole bunch of different opponents that he can work with, so, you know, an extended program with him and Moxley would not be a bad idea. But I know the stuff with New Japan is not over yet. So can they bring other names in until he eventually gets to Tanahashi, maybe in a few months? Maybe at the pay-per-view in November. Bulu Fatulu. One of our members, you know, actually, I think would benefit from a heel turn anyway. And actually, there you go. Darlene just said it in the chat. She stole my thunder. Moxley, I think, would really benefit from a heel turn. He really hasn't played heel in AEW, right? He's pretty much been a babyface this entire time. I think he would benefit from going heel. Maybe go heel for the feud with Punk. And then you put the two of them together. But Bulu, with the $10, what's up, Solemonster? Better movie villain, Anton Chigurh in No Country for Old Men or Leo DiCaprio in Django Unchained? Good content, by the way. Been a fan since 2015. Well, thank you, brother. Well, I mean, Leo is just absolutely hateable, as a lot of those, you know, racist assholes were in Django, and they got their comeuppance, and boy, it felt so good. But I can't vote against Anton Chigurh. It's funny you mentioned No Country for Old Men. I have not seen that movie in so long. I'm going to go back and watch it one of these weeks. I might watch that before I even watch Joker. That was a great movie, and he was a very creepy character. I don't know if he won the award for that or not, but if he didn't, he should have. I got to go No Country for Old Men. The Gilf Lover. I just started watching AEW for a few weeks. Why is there so many factions a la WWE 97? Yeah, they probably have a few too many. A few too many. I remember the gang wars from 97 with DOA and Los Boricuas, and they had the Truth Commission, and then we had the Oddities, and we had the Nation, and we had DX. And now, I couldn't even tell you the name of every faction in AEW. There's too many of them, I agree. Dry chicken without flavor. Paul Heyman Super Chat got me too. Moment of the year. It's It's like that one time when I was on the phone with somebody who just was being very long-winded in their phone call. And somebody in the chat made a comment. I just happened to glance at it, and it got me. It was like Solomonster's doing his taxes or something, and I just fucking lost it. I lost it. You never know when those moments might pop up. Dry chicken without flavor. I just talked about that one. Joseph Brooks, I meant extended program. Oh, I would go Sean Owen over Booker and Eddie. That would be my preference. And dry chicken. And then I think we're all caught up. He says, Ospreay against Moxley would shock everyone. It would. And Ospreay is based here in the U.S. He's going to be working with the New Japan Strong crew for a while. So, although he just got COVID, so Ospreay's not working with anybody for the next 2 weeks. I saw the video he put up early this morning. But yeah, you could do that, sure. I feel like Moxley is more interested in going after all the New Japan roster people than he is anybody in AEW. Tuxedo T Servo says, or being an anti-dentite, that's a rabid anti-dentite. Got to get it right. You know, Seinfeld is coming to Netflix. I think October 1st, is it? All 180 episodes are moving over. They were on Hulu, now they're going to be all on Netflix. Judgment in the chat says, does anybody remember when Solomonster traumatized that kid who called in? Well, which one? I feel like I've traumatized a few of them. Was that the one who I told John Cena was going to be murdered by the Fiend? Is that the one you're talking about? I think that kid is still in therapy. Nick Caps, what's going on, Nick? He says, what up, Solomonster? Just tuned in. Hope your night is going well. In your opinion, who is the best wrestler that should have been but never became world champion? Well, I mean, there's so many options there. You know, we could talk about Kurt Hennig, although he was a champion in the AWA, but we could talk about Hennig in WWE. We could talk about Piper. We could talk about Ted DiBiase. Owen Hart. You know, Owen could have... The time to do that run with Owen would have been when he was feuding with Bret. And they could have done the title change before SummerSlam. At like a live event. And then had him drop it back to Bret if they wanted to. After that, it felt like it had run its course. Like even when Owen came back, the end of 98, had that little brief feud with Shawn. He just wasn't at that level at that point. But I think there was a time in 94 where you could have done it, even just for a month or two. But I mean, there's so many people that I could probably think of. You know, I can't just boil it down to a few. That was the one? Yeah, that's right. I told him, tell your sister not to watch because the Fiend is going to murder John Cena. Well, I mean, was I wrong? We didn't see John Cena again for what? 2 years? A year and a half? After the Firefly Funhouse? Yeah, the bad guy, Scott Hall. Which was a weird one because Scott Hall, he had a great look. You know, he had a great look. He had size. He was a big guy, deceptively big. I think him hanging out with Kevin Nash for so long, people thought that he was small, but he really wasn't. He was only small because he was hanging around with a guy who was 7 feet. But Scott Hall could have had a run. And the Gilf Lover dropping $2. Thoughts on Bruce and Vince producing NXT. I'm going to talk about that this weekend on the show. This is exactly what I feared when I heard about Vince and Bruce and Nick Khan and John Laurinaitis all making a field day trip, right? And Kevin Dunn, they all went down to the Performance Center and I said they should lock Hit Row in a closet somewhere and tell them not to come out until they all leave for the day. Nothing good was going to come from any of those people going down to the Performance Center. And now we're seeing why. Now we're seeing why. What great diversity we have, by the way. With Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard. going to have their hand now in NXT. The downfall of NXT was moving to USA Network. The moment NXT moved to USA and expanded to 2 hours, that was the beginning of the end. And AEW beating them on Wednesdays and embarrassing them on most weeks, that was the nail in the coffin right there. I heard this news today and I thought, boy, they're pissed about losing to AEW. That they would basically encroach on Hunter's turf and take over, or no pun intended, take over or have a greater hand in NXT. And this is one report. It was from Brian Alvarez, who broke the news on Wrestling Observer Live. I have not seen it reported by anybody else yet. We have to wait and see. We have 2 weeks this week and then next week of taped shows. We're not going to know what the new NXT looks like until September 14th. That's going to be the Indy Hartwell, Dexter Lumis wedding. They're going to be live again. Starting in mid-September, we'll get a sense of what the new NXT is going to look like. But that was the beginning of the end for NXT. Once it moved off the network and they expanded it to 2 hours, that was the beginning of the end. And when they lost to AEW and got bounced to a different night, and you could attribute it to hockey and whatever else, but they were getting trounced on most weeks, which you have to think in their mind is very embarrassing. They're the established brand. Even if NXT is their third brand, WWE has been firmly established for so long that any of their shows on USA would be beaten out by another program. I said, you know, when I was talking about this a few weeks ago, Vince McMahon has to have lost faith in Triple H. He's got to look at him and be disappointed and say, you had one job and you couldn't even do that. All you had to do was hold them at bay. All you had to do was beat out AEW and you couldn't do it. And now we're seeing the end result of that. It's a shame. It really is a shame. I'm wondering how many times we're going to be hearing stories about NXT being rewritten an hour before they go live. We already hear that every Monday, sometimes on Fridays. It's only a matter of time before NXT script gets ripped up. Don't like it. Rewrite the whole show. NXT was like a safe haven from the rest of the roster, from the main roster. It was its own thing. There was no need to, you know, kind of put your grubby paws on it and get involved. And now, unfortunately, we're going to see that NXT is going to be infected. NXT needed a booster shot. They didn't get it. Now the virus is going to spread. It's going to spread from Monday to Tuesday. But, of course, we'll all keep an open mind with this, right? We'll see what it looks like on television. I can't wait. A Vince McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, NXT. Oh, sounds like so much fun. Paul Heyman. Can you see Vince McMahon taking one look at Hit Row and sending them straight to Skid Row? Oh boy, Vince McMahon getting his hands on Hit Row. You could put the letter S in front of Hit Row, and I think that might be what we'll end up getting under a Vince McMahon Hit Row. Hit Row might turn to Shit Row very quickly. Uffman Entertainment, the new NXT, poop jokes and rematches. What a shame. What a shame. Triple A. Poor Triple A. The only thing he's going to have left is NXT UK, and he already gave that to Shawn Michaels. He's going to get moved. They're going to send him over to the UK. You know, sometimes, like, if you have a job and your job moves overseas, so you got to move the whole family overseas. That's going to be Triple H and Stephanie and the girls. They're all going to have to move over to the UK. They're going to be sent over there. Like they're just being cast away. Okay, you can take NXT UK. Triple H is going to eventually only have NXT UK. That's all he's going to have left. This poor bastard. Dry chicken without flavor. I hope Triple H and Vince can sit together in family dinner table. Oh, it'll be a fly on the wall for that. Wouldn't that be interesting? Tuxedo T Servo in the chat says, less a virus and more like an STD. Yeah, well, you're not wrong about that. NXT now has crotch rot. That's what NXT has. NXT has crotch rot. King Bling dropping $4.99. Do you have to debut Cole ASAP for bigger shock or wait until September 22nd and let him wait a month? I would debut him Sunday in the cage match. BD on Sunday too. Well, Brian Danielson will be there on Sunday. And I believe Ruby Soho is coming in as well. The only question is, does she come in on Sunday or does she come in New York? Because in these vignettes that she has been filming and putting on her social media, the last we saw her, she was in New York City. So they're coming in. Danielson will be there on Sunday. I don't think you need to rush Cole at all. I don't think you have to. He just became a free agent. Let Britt Baker keep teasing it and dropping little hints. I also would wait until September 22nd. I think if they bumped up the Danielson thing because they just wanted to not take any chances with COVID and restrictions and what happens if they have to scale down on the show, you know, in the stadium. I get that. I would wait, though, and hold Cole. There's no need to rush him. If you're going to have Danielson on the show on Sunday, there's no need for Cole to be in there. Now, it would be cool to see him. You know, I'd pop to see him, but do I think he needs to be on the all-out card? No. No, I don't think he does. I don't see any need to rush him. A few weeks will not kill his reaction when he debuts. Yep, Uffman says Ruby was in Jersey City as well. But I think at the end of that last video, she was in New York. I still say she's the Joker entrant in the Battle Royal on Sunday, but there are people who think that they'll wait until New York. It's very possible. Deshaun... Good Lord, motherfucker, that scared the fuck out of me. And again, an emergency alert. The second time in the last few weeks that I have been interrupted here and almost shat myself from an emergency alert on my phone. A flash flood warning is in effect for this area until 3 a.m. This is a dangerous and life-threatening situation. This is the second dangerous and life-threatening situation I've been alerted about in the last 3 weeks. Do not attempt to travel unless you are fleeing an area subject to flooding or under an evacuation order. Aye, aye, Captain. I think I lost 3 years off my life there. That scared the shit out of me. I'm going to be able to put a whole video together at the end of this year of just moments where I'm just spooked by the emergency alerts on my phone. Be like a whole collage, a whole montage of nothing but those moments. You know, and I muted my phone too, but it vibrates. So I feel it all throughout the desk here. Boy, these life-threatening events are becoming far too common here. I'm not liking this. Deshaun Robinson, before I was so rudely interrupted. NXT getting that lethal dose of poison. The Prince says there was a tornado in New Jersey. Wow. And the Mantar jump scares. Yeah, we'll throw those in there too. I've had a couple of Mantar. That's the $75 Mantar Super Chat that when I actually hear it and it pops up on screen, it kind of scares me. Yeah, you know, Epsilon Sama says, then in the winter comes the snow. I'm worried that we're going to have a horrible winter too. We had kind of a quiet one, I feel like. Was it last year? Was kind of a quiet winter? Usually after a quiet one, we get slammed. That's what I'm worried about. We get slammed. Ice and snow. Down power lines. It's awful. The flooding has been pretty bad. It has been pretty bad. Yeah, Ultimate Elite says Ziggler should have left WWE a long time ago. Could you imagine him in New Japan? He had the opportunity to leave. He chose to stay. He chose to stay. That was his choice. He could have left a long time ago and become relevant again. And then eventually he could have gone back to WWE. That was his choice. He wanted to stay. He was happy there, and he got, obviously, I'm sure, a good deal for himself. So good. Good. But Dolph Ziggler has not been someone who I would say has been relevant in many years. Fine wrestler. Nothing wrong with him in the ring, but the difference between that and relevancy. You don't hear people talking about Dolph Ziggler anymore. There's a reason for that. He is slotted in at a certain level, and he's happy being there. And you know what? If he's happy being there, then we should be happy for him. I stopped going to bat for him on the podcast about 3 or 4 years ago. Because I realized if this guy doesn't care, then why should I? He's happy, so hey, leave it alone. EJ Slemp, I used your Fubo TV link and signed up. I love the service, but they don't have any Turner channels, so do you know where I can find Dynamite? Well, you can find Dynamite on YouTube TV. That's where you can find Dynamite. That's the one thing with Fubo. They're still working on a potential agreement with Turner Networks at some point, but they do not have Turner Networks. And that's what we were doing for a while. We had both. You know, my brother is a huge NBA fan, a huge Knicks fan. YouTube TV does not have MSG Network, so we had both. And he would be able to watch Knicks games on Fubo. But I understand not everybody can afford, you know. I mean, I let him pay for that, so it wasn't on me. But not everybody can afford to subscribe to two different streaming services. I mean, that's a little much. But I don't know, outside of YouTube TV or Sling or something, I don't know where else you would find the Turner Networks, unless you just get cable. And I would not ever recommend going back to cable. That is one thing I do not miss. It was July of last year when I cut the cable cord for the first time, 25 plus years, got rid of cable. I said, fuck this. I was getting a $300, oh, $291 monthly bill for the internet and the cable. $291. The bill just kept going up, 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 up. The service was getting worse. I said, what am I doing here? I called them up. I was ready to cancel. It was a four-day process, but I finally got it canceled. They wanted to be my best friend. All of a sudden, I actually got human beings on the phone when I would call. Oh, sir, you know, we'll offer you this, and we can get you a discount. I said, I don't care what kind of discount you can get me. I'm done. Cancel my account. Oh, but sir, you know, we'll offer you. I said, I don't care. You have been sending me bills that have been going up, up, and away. I said, and now I'm going up, up, and away. I said, cancel the fucking account. And I haven't looked back since. Best decision I ever made. Rizzo, dropping 10. I just got off work and started watching the stream. Saw the weather in New York. Please be safe. Also, positive thoughts to Daphne. That Instagram video was a tough watch. Yeah, I don't know why that person even put that on Twitter, to be honest with you. I don't know if they've taken it down or not, but it didn't show any, like, she didn't, from what I saw, because I was just watching a little bit of it just to get a sense before I went live of exactly what happened, so that I could talk about it here on the stream and just let everybody know what was going on. I stopped it before the end, but I'm sure, I don't think she did anything in the video. Yeah, it's very scary. I mean, when people are in situations like that, you know, you don't know what they're going through. Everybody has their issues, whether it's something that's going on in her life or, you know, is she on some kind of meds or something and got off of them? Who knows? But it was scary enough that a whole bunch of different wrestlers were, you know, basically pleading with people on social media to reach out to her, DM them her contact information, and then they would reach out and she wasn't responding. So, you know, I'm still waiting to see if there's any kind of update. I haven't seen anything. I checked Fightful before, and I'll check again real quick now before we wrap up here. But, yeah, it's scary stuff. I mean, there's really nothing else you can say. Let me check Fightful to see if there's any kind of update. Nothing yet. Nothing yet. So, hopefully that'll have a happy ending. Steven Chapa just dropped $50. Wowza. Look at that. here I thought we were done for the night on Super Chats. And then you guys find a way, man. You find a way to pull me back in and show me the love. You guys are great. Best fans in the world. We had an awesome August. We picked up so many new followers and subscribers and members, and it's just a fantastic way to end the summer. But Steven dropped 50. It's been a few weeks since I can make it for a live show. School and coaching started, but here is some love and support to the top guy in wrestling podcasting. Steven, thank you very much. That means a lot. The big 5-0. We got the big 5-0. We had the 3-0-0 tonight, which I think might have been the single biggest super chat I've ever got. I'm trying to think if there was a 400. Usually the good professor, when he shows up, he drops some very impressive bombs, but sometimes they're all broken up into different super chats. It's rare that you get a 300 bomb dropped on you like that. Amazing. Hey, Green, all the best to your family. He just said in the chat, his brother and his family, they're battling COVID right now, so all the best to them. Hopefully they will come out of it within a few days or so and be okay, and they'll be one of the lucky ones who has a mild case and then they're back to business. Doesn't always work out that way, but hopefully in their case it'll all work out just fine. Yeah, Beowulf, you know, that whole situation with Daphne and TNA, which goes back probably about a decade now, maybe a little over a decade. I covered that on the podcast. It's one of my classic rants, actually, on the Sound Off. And I want to say it was episode... I could be wrong about this. I want to say it was episode 156, I believe. It was a whole expose. It wasn't just about Daphne. It was about TNA's treatment of their women and their female performers. Based on an article that had been posted, I believe, on the Cage Side Seats website at the time. So if you ever want to go back in the archives and re-listen, that's one of the big rants in Sound Off history, and Daphne was part of that. And just when she got hurt, the way that, just the lackadaisical way that she was treated and having to wrestle concussed, and it was awful. The way they treated her was absolutely awful. And who knows if she's still experiencing residual issues from that even to this day. It's very possible. You know, when you're talking about concussions, you're talking about the brain. I mean, you're really playing with something that's very delicate, and it affects people in different ways. So, again, I have no idea if that has anything to do with the situation now that she's going through, but, you know, she's been through some tough stuff. She really has. Rizzo, nothing thankfully happened in the video, so hopefully she is okay. And Bulu, what is your favorite video game movie? That's an interesting question. Video game, yeah, Jared, Terry Taylor was involved. I remember that. Terry Taylor was working behind the scenes, I think, in the TNA at the time. Yeah, he had a lot to do with that. Fucking rooster. Favorite video game movie. I don't know if the Turtle movies would count, would it? Because it was a cartoon that turned into a game. It wasn't a game that was turned into a movie. I would say maybe Mortal Kombat by default. Because I can't really think of any others right now. The Mortal Kombat movie might be it. Cowdog in the chat says, to invert that question, what is your favorite movie video game? So, favorite movie that turned into a game? God, I think back to all that time I spent playing Turtles in Time at the arcade back in the day. I might have to go with that. Turtles in Time. Street Fighter. I think the game came before the movie, right? Oh, yeah, the Super Mario Brothers movie was awful. That was with Dennis Hopper, right? As, was he Bowser or Koopa or something. I did not like that. JR just dropped $2. Hope you don't float away. Stay well and stay safe. Well, if you see my chair suddenly moving in the other direction, you'll know I'm floating away. But I'm high up enough that up here there's not going to be any flooding. Although I do worry about the roof. We have, you know, when it rains, when it's this heavy, I've had so many leaks in the roof. I look up and I see it bubbling up and it's like, oh boy. So you always got to be careful when you get that much water. Bad things happen. But I feel like it's just minor stuff compared to what a lot of people are going through right now, like in the Midwest and a lot of those states, their whole homes are being swept away. You know, how do you recover from that? You know, that's the problem, really, when you talk about New Orleans and a lot of those areas in places like Louisiana where you're in this, like you're below sea level. And, you know, you can be devastated. And then it's like, well, we will rebuild. But you're rebuilding on land that's not safe, and you know it's just going to happen again. So you almost wonder, is it even worth it to rebuild? You rebuild, and then the same thing, you know, five years later, the same thing happens again. It's terrible. All right, we just hit the two-hour mark. This has been fun, guys. This has been a great stream tonight. I was blown away. Again, my slotty obsession, Philip and his wife. Definitely check out their YouTube channel. You've heard me talk about that on the podcast now for several weeks, but it is a very cool channel, and you all should go check it out. Steven, Jared, everybody who dropped all the Super Chat love tonight, thank you for all of the support. Am I a fan of Amiibo? I don't know what that is. You'll have to tell me what that is. My thoughts on Orlando Jordan's TNA run when he was doing the Velveteen Dream gimmick? Not a fan. Is that when he would come out and pour milk all over him? Yeah, that was a Russo thing. Not a fan. Yeah, very sad what happened to Rikishi's niece. She was murdered. She was shot. And there is a reward out, I think $50,000 for the scumbags who killed her. So I did hear about that. But yeah, Tuxedo, I will see you on Friday. I am going to be live on Friday. So again, we're not doing the watch along. We're doing the traditional review after 11 p.m. Eastern Friday night. As soon as Rampage goes off the air, I will have a full review live back here with you guys. And I will also run through my all-out predictions. So it'll be a combo stream. You'll get the Rampage review and all-out predictions, and we'll take more of your super chats and questions, and we'll hang out for a little bit on a Friday night. So, Boomer Solomonster, Boomer. I'm not quite a Boomer. Don't put me in Boomer territory yet. I'm a busy man. I can't possibly keep up with all these pop culture references. You're not a fan of Amiibo, but you pronounce it correctly. Well, that's good. It's good. I'm glad I pronounce it correctly. Epsilon, no, we're not taking calls tonight. I'm gonna get on out of here. Thank you again. I will see you guys on Friday, and join me on Sunday as well. So it's going to be a busy weekend. We got episode 720 of the podcast. The final This Week in History is going to be on that show. And then, of course, back here live on YouTube on Sunday night for the All Out pay-per-view. Don't forget, if you guys want to become a channel member, if you are on the Legends tier, you have access to all of the lost episodes as they go up. I'm putting them up one by one. The old episodes of the Sound Off from 2007 and 2008 and 2009 that cannot be found anywhere else. But this one right here, episode 11 from January 21, 2008. That one is up for all of our channel members, regardless of tier, one time only. Retro audio. You can hear Solomonster when I was so innocent. That was before I was corrupted by all these awful episodes of Raw. So go ahead and check that out and become a channel member if you are interested in doing so. I'm out of here. Peace. See you guys Friday night. Have a good night. Stay safe.